IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. Remember how just last week I told you that Miami Heat have a little bit of separation in the East and everyone else is bunched up below them? Mm-hmm. What happened after that was the Miami Heat lost 4 consecutive games and now they're no longer on top of the East and the top 4 in the East are separated by 1 game. Boston Celtics, who were 11th,
they're number on
Jan
16th.
Jan 16th, they were 11th. So in 2 months and 10 days, they've gone up to the top spot. Incredible run. Nobody saw this coming. I mean, no matter how good the team was, from 11 to first is quite a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Amazing run by the Boston Celtics. And that East is not decided. Who's playing who and all that is not decided. And there's no point talking about it right now because it can flip in a day. Yeah. What I'll do today is we'll talk about the West. Because everyone's playing for a spot in the West except the Phoenix Suns, who are sitting much ahead of the pack, like way ahead of the pack. And Memphis Grizzlies have kind of cemented that second spot as well. But everyone else are in trouble, and not trouble, but everyone else has something to fight for in the last 5-6 games of the season. So let's talk about the Western Conference in today's episode.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one, or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to The Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's going to be lit.
I know that I said Phoenix Suns will not lose a spot. They've already cemented the top spot. But there has been a lot of chatter recently, especially in the last week when Devin Booker went off on this run and how Phoenix Suns do not get enough respect and Devin Booker should be in the MVP conversation and all of that. First of all, do you think that's warranted? I don't think so. I don't think Booker... I don't
the respect or the MVP part?
Both. I don't think... So, in my opinion, I don't think... I have bad things to say about Booker. I think he's brilliant, but MVP is a little bit of stretch and I don't think he deserves an MVP because there have been several guys who've been better than him.
Yeah, I think... So respect, I agree. I think we were mentioning this last week, right? Like, if we think these teams are not getting their fair share, look at the Suns. Nobody talks about them. So, 100% agreed. They're winning the... They're runners-up, first of all. Let's start there. They're runners-up last season. They're runaway favorites in the East, at least in the regular season table. And yet, they don't get talked about. And we were talking about is like the Utah Jazz being ignored and these guys and those guys. And I'm like, the league leaders are getting ignored. Forget the rest. But Devin Booker MVP is just nonsense. I mean, stop it. It's just now it's just populism. Now you're just playing to the crowds because if, and it is a valid argument for me, but if Giannis being the scoring champion or right there, he probably missed by a hair's breadth if he misses, and a runaway favorite for DPOY this season, how is he not an MVP contender? If that's a fair question, then my question is, how is a guy who's not even an all-out, for sure, guaranteed all-star or an all-star starter, how is he in the MVP conversation? Like, Booker needs somebody to go out for him to get into the all-star conversation. Very rare that he actually considers himself a good shot at getting in. It doesn't add up to me. I don't think, there's nothing, what is Booker doing today that is better than Giannis for the Bucks, both ends of the court? Why do we only look at... It's just like we've assumed that there are attacking players and then there are two-way players. And we give two-way players credit for being two-way players. But the way I understand it, it's basketball. It's played at both ends of the court. Now, you can forgive a Steph or a Booker or whatever for not being amazing defenders because they're outstanding at offense. You can live with that. So then it's true for defensive players who contribute precious little on the other end. But that doesn't mean... Just because you've accepted that they perform one end of the floor, that you just take that and compare them to MVPs who are actually killing it both ends of the floor. Like Giannis is the best at both ends of the floor. That's the benchmark. What is Booker doing better than Giannis? Absolutely nothing. So then you're not buying it. No way.
I think the argument that is being made is he's the best player on the best team in the league. So does he deserve an MVP shot? I don't think so. I think it still is the most valuable player. It's not the best team. So I don't think Booker deserves it.
Who, all NBA consideration?
Of course.
Yeah. No, who topped the West last season? Who topped the West last season? Yeah, where's the MVP talk? Was Donovan Mitchell in the MVP conversation?
Well, Rudy Gobert got the DPOY, if you look at it that way. But
no, but this is not a DPOY. DPOY, there's no league position argument, right? You're looking at two. If this is the MVP logic, where was Donovan Mitchell last season? Why was he not considered? In?
Yep.
Or Conley, or whoever the hell you think is the best player on the team, Bogdanovich for all I care. Where was he in the... it's just nonsense. It's a couple of prominent channels just decide there's a distinct lack of narrative. We've got to try something new. You know, we're tired of can LeBron make it happen this season? So let's just pick up something new. And then they just insert Devin Booker's name into the conversation. It's nonsense. He's an amazing player. I love Devin Booker. He's not an MVP candidate.
Do you think he's first team All NBA though this season? Over Steph, Ja Morant, Trae Young. These are the guards I can think of.
You have two guard spots, right? Yeah, you've got
exactly.
Trae Young, who leads the league in points and assists. The only drawback is league position, which okay. Let's say that's a legend drawback.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Has Devin Booker been better than Steph Curry this season? I don't think he has.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think he has. But okay, you could make the argument.
League, yeah, Steph has missed a few games now, so.
Yeah,
in the most important stretch. So
maybe he has a shot now that I think about it. I think Ja Morant definitely deserves to make that cut, even if not MVP. I think MVP is way too much of a stretch, but he can make that cut. So you've got one guard locked up.
Yep.
Then you have, depending on, I would imagine the league considers Luka a guard. So you're now looking at Luka versus Devin Booker versus Trae Young and whoever else is in contention. So yeah, maybe he has a shot at All-NBA first team. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the Phoenix Suns. The second spot and the third spot, Grizzlies and the Warriors. Now that kind of seems cemented. Warriors not yet. Grizzlies have made this fairy tale run without Ja Morant. 17-2 without their best player. I've not seen anything like this where your MVP contender, like we just talked about, or All-NBA contender Ja Morant, goes out of the team and the remaining five guys make such a big run. 17-2. Wow. That's insane. Like insane. Now, we've spoken about this several times this season, but has your ceiling for the Memphis Grizzlies changed? Do you think they can make beyond one round, two rounds of the conference, in the conference? Can they go to the Western Finals?
Yeah, first of all, coach of the year contender, along with Boston, I think Memphis Grizzlies definitely have a shot at coach of the year.
Your voice got cut off.
Blah, blah, blah. You, not me. You.
I can hear you now.
Yeah, so my output was always working.
Internet is unstable. It's
okay. Okay. I'll repeat 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
So first of all, coach of the year contender. I think Memphis and Boston both have a shot at getting their coaches recognized. Coach of the year contender, definitely in that discussion. Now, my ceiling for the Grizzlies, first of all, I never really had a proper ceiling for the Grizzlies because my whole point was, what do I base this off of? They've never been in the playoffs, and I always will. I do not bet in favor of anyone who's a first time playoff team unless it's something spectacular. What I'm seeing from Memphis is amazing. It's still not blowing my mind. It's not like, oh my God, I've never seen this from any team ever before or any such rookie ever before. We saw similar stuff from Luka. We saw stuff from Trey. League number two is a pretty cool achievement. But as we're seeing now, the squad has just as much to do that as Ja Morant. So then it's not one special talent alone. I think they have a great squad. I think with the West, it's just the only thing is, you'd hold them good for a series, for sure, the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. If they're finishing second in the league, it would be disrespectful to say they'll go out in the first round. But the way the West is shaping up, there are teams that you simply can't count out, like the Lakers, where if AD is back, if LeBron's playing, are they good for a series against the Grizzlies? I think they are. So there's that conundrum. And with the Clippers now talk of Paul George coming back, I wouldn't be as worried about the Clippers as I would be about the Lakers if they somehow get everyone fit. simply because the Clippers are actually a great squad now, it would be a disruption to bring in players, right? Versus the Lakers is just garbage right now. So anything is an improvement from here. Also because Paul George and Kawhi aren't the type of players that come back and plug in and play like and get the team playing like they've never missed it. I'm sure both of those guys would be great. But we've seen that in the bubble. It just doesn't quite work out for them that way. But different coach, who knows? Now that you've got those two LA teams, then you've got a couple of late bloomers. Pelicans seem to have found their feet. Minnesota are riveting fun to watch. And they've got so much offense. So if Grizzlies face the Timberwolves, I don't know. That's quite the matchup. Exactly. I don't know in a straight up series of seven games who wins.
Exactly.
So it's super tricky. In any other season, I would have picked them. But because of the fact that the play-ins have all these teams that are suddenly so strong, like I would pick the T-Wolves to knock out a couple of the other teams also on their day, right? So it's a little tricky. That combined with the fact that we've never really seen Memphis flex in the playoffs. We don't know what they're capable of. So it's an unknown entity for me. It's not that my glass ceiling shifts. It's not that my ceiling shifts. No, glass ceiling, my ass. It's not that my ceiling shifts. It's just I don't know where to place the ceiling because it's such an unknown entity.
The Warriors are sitting third. They kind of have control on that position because Utah Jazz have been terrible and they slipped. The Mavs are right behind the Warriors now. I don't think the Mavs will catch up. They're two behind. But if the Warriors' current form continues, where they're losing even to the Washington Wizards, they lost to the Orlando Magic last week. This is not really the brightest of ways to go into the playoffs, is it? I mean, I know that Steph Curry is missing and he is the heart and soul of the team. But you have your other stars. Jordan Poole has been performing way beyond what is expected of him. Klay Thompson has been performing pretty good. Draymond Green is now back. He's looked a shadow of what Draymond Green is supposed to look like. Would you be worried if you were the Warriors fans? Like, this stretch is not ending. I mean, you'll put Steph back into this team, but will that change a lot? Your defense is not good suddenly.
That's the thing that worries me. Like, Steph can come back into the team, but what happened to their defense? Their defense was best in the league or top three on any stat, right? Depending on when you checked. Yeah, I know Cleveland made a push for it and all that, but they were right up there, the Warriors defense. What the hell happened? That was with Steph, who didn't contribute all that much on defense. Because let's take just the latest example, and there's no recency bias. I'm just using a new example to illustrate my point. They got outshot. They basically got outscored by the Wizards in what was a frenzied, just put up shots wherever you want kind of game. I don't think either team played spectacular defense. How do you have Jordan Poole drop 26, Klay drop 25, Wiggins drop 20 something? And they all did it on decent shooting nights. Well, Poole was kind of off a little bit, but they were not bad. Poole was mostly off from the 3-point line. I think it was atrocious. I don't get why he took 10 threes. It's like whoever they put in that one spot has to jack up 10 threes in a game. But otherwise, they had three players 20 plus. They had some really solid bench contributions, especially Otto Porter, Otto Porter Jr. If you hear just that side of the story and say, this is what the Golden State Warriors did today against the Wizards, you're thinking, okay, sounds like everyone did great on offense. How many points did they put up? 115. Okay, so they won like 115, 108, something like that. 109 must have been a little close because they chilled off in the fourth quarter. Nope, they scored 115. They let them score 123. Who the fuck in the Wizards scored 123?
Corey Kispert?
Yeah, so they had Klay, Jordan Poole, and Wiggins all score 20, 25-ish. Guess what? The Wizards had KCP, they had Porzingis, and they had Kispert scored 20-something, and that's how they matched them. And then they had some great stuff off their own bench with Avdija, and they were a pretty high-energy bench, the Wizards. So they kind of put that to good use. In all this, the Warriors have dropped and continue to drop. I just don't get where their defensive mojo has gone. With the offense, I'm not worried. You get Steph Curry back, you light it up. I am not worried. It's the defense that bothers me because that's going to get exposed more and more in the playoffs. And it's very puzzling. Have they decided to cool off a little bit before the playoffs? Or like, is this calculated? Because otherwise, this seems very space jammy for me that they've lost their defensive mojo. That's the one part that does worry me. unless it's premeditated. I'm kind of like in that situation with the Oscars today, where I don't know if the Will Smith slap was scripted or not, but if it wasn't scripted, that's a little troublesome. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, everybody, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On Cider Says, Cider is joined by Utsav Mamoria, host of Postcards from Nowhere, comedian Kajol Srinivasan, and Antariksh. And This Cock and Bull, they examine everything from Sri Lanka cancelling exams due to paper and ink shortage to India's rank in the World Happiness Index. Let me tell you about a new show that I'm super excited about. It's called Ek Chuski Finance. It's a finance podcast made for women by financial expert Priyanka Acharya. She simplifies complex financial concepts in an easy-to-learn manner. To top it off, the show is available in 8, count them, 8 languages. Tune in every Tuesday for fresh episodes. On Pesa Vesa, Anupam meets Sandeep Jethwani. Sandeep is the co-founder at Deserve. They talk about how Deserve is creating long-term portfolios for working professionals. On All Things Policy, the Takshashila folk analyze the findings of the PEW survey on gender roles in Indian society. On the Life Manifesto, Zarina reiterates how important it is for women to uplift other women and shares how they can go about doing so. And on Marathi Kirkitun, the Deshmukhs explore the sixth sense in animals and humans and why it makes them extraordinary. Do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any of our other shows for that matter, please do tell a friend. And don't forget to rate us on any of the platforms you're listening to us on. Also, remember, we're on YouTube. You can check us out on ivmpodcast.com/YouTube and get a list of all the YouTube channels we have active at this point. I'd also like to make a quick note that we're doing a small listener survey, and it would really help us if you could fill that out. You can go to ivmpodcast.com/survey. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, SBI Life Insurance and India Water Portal. Thank you so much for making this possible.
It is. I don't see the Warriors, I mean, against any of these top six, right? They'll be in trouble if they play like this. I mean, I don't see them beating the Phoenix Suns for sure. I don't see them beating Grizzlies for sure. Mavs with Luka in that form, I don't see them beating the Mavs for sure. Nuggets, you never know with Jokic. It's difficult. Timberwolves have troubled Warriors in the past, especially with Karl Anthony Towns being their go-to guy and the size that he brings. They don't have an answer for that. Draymond Green would have to be spectacular. Kevon Looney is not going to stop Karl Anthony Towns. So that is kind of worrying for me that you're not going to beat any of these teams on current form. Utah Jazz, you probably would beat because the Jazz are struggling themselves. And the Warriors can have answers for Jazz. But apart from that, It's scary that way.
Yeah,
especially so given the start they had to the season.
Yeah, both them and the Jazz. They're like, guys, what's going on? I mean, are you guys in it for the playoffs? Are you in the mood? Yeah, this is a temper tantrum. What's happening? The Jazz, I don't know what it is with the Jazz. Every year they seemingly get stronger, and it's like this is their year where they finally get over the playoff hump. And every year I have less and less confidence on the Jazz going into the playoffs. They topped the damn league and I didn't believe in them last season.
Yep.
Or at least the West. I don't know if they top the league. I don't know. But yes, West did, for sure. Did. Okay. I still had no faith. Okay. I have no faith now where they're in a slump. They're in fifth place. And this, mind you, they've got they got leapfrogged by Dallas Mavericks that had Porzingis again out for most of the season, traded his ass in a random move mid-season. And they had already, prior to that, given up Seth Curry. All of these weapons and threes and rim protection and whatever else that Luka needs around him to make it work were gone. They got Josh Richardson somewhere in between, and then they sent him along his way forward. They had this trade that I think only I believed in sports media, which is generous on two counts. I'm assuming I know what everyone else thought in sports media, and I'm counting us in sports media. It's generous on two counts, but only and only I believe in the power of my Spencer Dinwiddie, and he's showing up. And they got upstaged by that. Now, this is an unstable team with a gamble trade. Even I didn't think Dinwiddie would fit in this quick and they'd actually start churning out results. Right? So that's a surprise. And the Jazz got upstaged by that. Jazz have been building this for 10 years. This is like Microsoft had Skype for 30 fucking years. 30 fucking years. Pandemic came. You've been working for this all your damn life. In comes Pop, Zoom, and then you're done. That's it. Like Skype is deprecated. Skype is like that, you know, ugly stepchild nobody talks about. Even Microsoft is only pushing Teams now and not Skype. It's kind of like that. Like, what the hell, Utah?
The Mavs, incredible run. I mean, Luka Doncic, we knew he was this special. We knew that he was great. To make a run this season, I didn't see that coming. I know that Luka would put up numbers. He'll get you 30, 10, and 10 That won't surprise me. But the wins were not easy to get by. And I thought that would continue for the rest of the season. Now they are two games behind the Warriors. That's crazy. That's as crazy as a run. Okay, not as crazy, but that's all a mini Celtics run.
Yeah,
I would say that.
Probably as crazy because Celtics did it with as like their squad is a bit like Utah Jazz's squad. The core has been there for a while now. Yep, they had a coaching change, but the core of the squad has been there for a while now. And they kind of found their feet and they got it done. But Dallas had no core to speak of. Like in the last 3 years, their squad has been all over the place. Ravaged, ransacked, flipped upside down. The one other star they had, was largely unavailable for 2 years and then they flipped it. And then they made this run largely what? On the basis of their one mercurial sub-25-year-old guy who's been carrying literally this franchise for four seasons now. So it's impressive in its own way. I don't even think he has what Ja Morant has around him.
Yeah, I think they'll easily get home advantage going into the playoffs because the remaining schedule is easier than the Jazz. The Jazz play both the LA teams. They play the Warriors, they play Memphis and Phoenix out of their last eight. So six out of eight are against these top teams.
Wait, whoa. Did you put both LA teams in the count of top teams?
Well, when I say top teams, it's not easy to beat them. Lakers, if given that they need to protect their 10th spot, they have something to play for.
Yeah, they had a direct matchup against the team that pushed them to 10th spot. They had a massive lead. Yeah. And they blew it against a team without Zion.
Yep.
So, yeah, no.
Well, okay, they still have to play the Warriors. Put them in the same category. Yeah, then. But they have to play Memphis and Phoenix. But the Mavs schedule, Mavs also have the Lakers. They have Cavs, but they have Wizards, Pistons, Portland, and Spurs as the last four games.
So they have the Lakers, Wizards, Portland, and Spurs, like four walk-off wins.
Yes, and Cavs are struggling too.
Walk-over wins. And, yeah.
And Cavs are struggling too. So Mavs have a pretty easy schedule going into the end of this regular season. The Jazz don't. The Nuggets have made a run. They are sixth now, just sitting above Minnesota, 1.5 games ahead of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Do you think they can hold on to the direct playoff spot? Or Minnesota, the informed team, can they make a push and knock the Nuggets out? You know what? If both these teams make a run, Jazz might be knocked off the top six.
We'll miss them. The Jazz have really not given me anything to be fond of them, any reason to be fond of them. So I don't care. I like Donovan Mitchell. That's about all. I don't care.
Two and a half games behind the Jazz, the Minnesota Timberwolves are right now.
Yeah, that's us. I think only and only because of the tricky schedule. Maybe it's there. I think Denver they're really closing in. They're a win behind the Jazz, effectively.
Yep.
I think that can be closed down. And deservedly so. I think if I had to pick one team and say, you know, stick with this team and say they'll win a playoff series, it's the Nuggets, not the Jazz. Even with their depleted nonsense, I still just pick the Nuggets over the Jazz. Sorry, Utah fans, just don't get that sense of comfort from
this. And I'll tell you why it is so important to finish in the top six, because the seventh and eighth would be, whoever finishes in seventh would play the LA Clippers, right?
Yeah.
And the loser of that would play either the Lakers, Pelicans, or the Spurs. Now, Pelicans are in form. You don't want to face them. If it's the Spurs, I think you can beat them. But if it's the Lakers, then you never know again. So
the level of disrespect against the Lakers that you mentioned Spurs as a possibility of sneaking in.
I really think they have a chance. I really think they have a chance.
One but game off.
You don't want to go into the playing spot because Clippers are mercurial. They're getting back Paul George.
No doubt. Yeah.
They might get back Kawhi Leonard. Who knows? They might get back Norman Powell also now.
Yeah, but Ty Lue, they are a pain anyway. Because that's a coach with playoff experience and plenty of it. So you don't want to mess with the wrong team.
What do you feel about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George coming back and then suddenly you see the Clippers are making this run and they make the Western Conference final? I would hate it because this is like...
Yeah, it just sucks. It's just the ultimate in load management. It's at this time, I know the injuries are legit, but it's like they've kind of... proven their hypothesis that this shit works.
Yeah, regular season doesn't matter.
I don't think it'll happen. The bubble was the best shot at making this happen. Maybe if they had a different coach, they could have made it happen. I don't know. But that was their best chance. With all of that rest and all that, and they came back fully fit. That was their best chance of proving that with the right personnel, you can sleep through the regular season, not care about where you finish, flip a switch, and get it done. The only mistake that I believe they made is... It's not even believing that they can flip the switch. I think the one mistake they made was throughout the year, it was a squad built to do one thing and one thing only, which was to beat the Lakers. Only built a squad to beat the Lakers. They're like, oh, okay, this guy will take LeBron, this guy will take AD. And they didn't do a very good job of it to begin with. But what they didn't calculate is, are we going to get to the Western Conference Finals, where the Lakers will surely be? Because in our frenzy to build a Laker beating squad, we built a squad that couldn't quite beat Jamal Murray. So problems, it's not going to happen. I don't think it'll happen. It'll be nice to see them back on the floor, though.
That's the danger of trying to avoid a team, right? And that's exactly what's happening in the East Philly, right now. Right? Everyone Philly's wants to avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah, Philly just temporarily topped the league by the in all of the frenzy. But everyone over there, I think, except the Bucks and the Celtics, are trying to avoid the Brooklyn Nets. And that's a dangerous thing to do, especially when given that how close everyone is and it could end up anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think that's a good strategy to avoid a team because you'll eventually face them anyway.
Mm-hmm. So.
Now, let's talk about the Lakers before we close out this episode. What's happening with the Lakers? You lose to the Pelicans after having a 23-point lead. Didn't see that happening, especially after the first half. LeBron might be injured. He twisted his ankle yesterday and never know after that. The Spurs are closing in. Spurs are a team known not to tank and they will make a push for this. For sure, they are. The Lakers' schedule is not the most friendliest going into the end of the season. The Spurs have a relatively easier schedule because they play the Portland Trailblazers and all of those weak teams that I mentioned. How do you see this ending up? What's happening with the Lakers? What will happen with the Lakers if they don't make the playoffs even?
Yeah, I'd rather not see it at all. How did we get here? How are we in this position? The Lakers' starting five included Dwight Howard. Okay, I'll live with it. Austin Reeves and Gabriel.
Gabriel.
I don't care if he's losing Gabriel. Who the hell is this guy? What's he doing in the starting lineup? How the fuck did we get here? And then, you know, your bench, you're like, okay, we must be having a great bench then. No, we've got Kamala Anthony, who once in seven games turns into Hoodie Melo, but that's about it. And even that only on offense. We have Stanley Johnson, who does well there. There's THT, who for some reason I'm pretty sure the Lakers media is still hyping up.
Yep.
And then you got DJ Augustin, who should be playing down the street at one of those clubs, but he is playing on the court. What is happening? These are all fine young talents. I'm sure they'll develop into something someday, but that is not today. So what are we doing expecting them to rescue the team? You've got Westbrook, who's still getting paid, still playing. He is still giving you stuff like 18, 7, and 6, which for Russell, like, fuck. Avdija gives the Wizards that off the bench. You're getting $45 million a year to change the fortunes of a franchise. And you do this. Halliburton does that and Moniz compares him to Michael Jordan or Magic. And you get $45 million to do this shit week in and week out. Stunningly against the Pelicans. He shot better than 50% from the floor, including 2 of 5 from the three-point line, which is flat-out phenomenal for him. But so what? So LeBron James had another slip-disc-inducing, back-breaking, team-carrying performance, 39-9-5. And he was shooting threes like his Steph Curry. The game started with like two threes and a jumper from a layup from LeBron. Like the first 10 points were LeBron, two threes and one that typical strongman, just get out of the way, dash to the rim. He's doing everything he can. Clearly, apparently, that's not enough. 7 of 13 from 3, LeBron James. Imagine that. And then Westbrook puts up whatever. And then Malik Monk, who, for me, he's been the player of the season. You expect LeBron to do this. Malik Monk is the player of the season for the Lakers. 100%. What a fight. What a revelation. He's been outstanding. He's done the 3-bit. He's done the D-bit. He's done rebounds. He's giving them every now and then a few.
Spectacular block. I remember that one.
Yeah, man. And playmaking, too. Matching Westbrook on the assist tally. So this is the three, right? Who had a half decent game. And that is it. End of story. Then you have Stanley Johnson, 19 minutes, 0 points on the board. Gabriel, 18 minutes, 4 points on the board. You've got a sum total of 0 from Austin Reeves, right? Who clearly is, he's some sort of specialized Rodman, except it's assists minus rebounds. They've got all these weird roles being handed out to talented young players and they're expecting them to accelerate their learning by 5 years. This is a train wreck. The Lakers would do well to hold on to that 10th spot. Mm-hmm. They'll have to just go into the play-in games. There is still no word on Anthony Davis. Is he?
Nope.
Nope. Yeah, there's no word. So I this is a train. This is a disaster this season. Let's just hang it up. Now it's so close to the play-in games that if they're still not talking about AD returning,
yeah,
there better be an update soon. Or if they're going into the play-ins without AD, I don't even know if they can get that done. Two wins they've got to get back to back. I don't know if they can get that done.
Let's take this hypothetical situation where AD comes back for the first game of the play-in or the play-in rather.
Yeah, it's right? Not gonna be enough, no?
Yeah, I mean, even if they beat the Pelicans, I don't see them beating whoever finishes the winner of Clippers versus T-Wolves or Nuggets or whoever falls in that spot, right?
I think what it's setting up for is a very sad scenario where the Clippers actually end the Lakers season.
Mm.
That's a distinct possibility. I hope the T-Wolves don't let it come to that. Or T-Wolves or, I don't know, the Utah Jazz slipped there. I hope they don't let it come to that. Can't have that happening, but there is a possibility it might. Against all odds, if Lakers get to the playoffs, watch out. But I think they're done.
I think so too. That's really 4 years for LeBron now in this franchise. Last season was bad because they got knocked out by Phoenix. And regardless of the injuries and whatnot, the fact remains that they got knocked out.
In the first round. That's the worst part.
The first round. Bubble season, they won. Great. That's what he was here to do.
The season before that, trash.
Yeah. Didn't even make the playoffs. Didn't even make an attempt to make the playoffs. So,
four years, what's up with this LeBron hype? Like, 4 years, he's done nothing. Is this guy?
4 years, one title, and that's about it.
He got the ring, though. Can't really complain.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lots of interesting things to talk about in the offseason with the Lakers, but which might be next weekend, the offseason for the Lakers. Let's see.
All right. So that was a Western Conference. We don't really need to talk about the Kings or the Rockets or whoever else is left. OKC. Did they accumulate any more picks? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're gone, right? But this is where this is the greatest argument you can make in favor of the West being better than the East, more competitive. In the East, all three bottom teams are already eliminated. In the West, one of them is still mathematically in contention, the Kings.
Yep. All right. So nice talking to you as always. I'll come back and talk tomorrow. But have a good day.
Peace.
Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans' point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.